Welcome back, sports fans, to another episode of the Charity Stripe Podcast, brought to you by the Believe Podcast Network, the number one sports podcast network in Los Angeles. For those listening at home, on the road, in the air, or in the water, do you believe? We have a great show for you guys today. Isaiah Roby of the Oklahoma City Thunder joins the boys, so buckle up, tuck it into your waistband, because here we go. 3, 2, 1. We're back.
And now, this is the moment you've all been waiting for. We are live on the Charity Stripe Podcast with your hosts, Alex, Josh, and Nick.
We're back, baby. It's the Charity Stripe. Pitch your free throws because they are free. SOD 367 coming hot at you guys in SOD 366. And I'm joined on this one by Alex Toss Me the Octosopolis, Nicholas Snacks Kreider, and yes, Isaiah Roby for an awesome show. Love having the NBA guys in. Isaiah's story is really great. Crazy road to the NBA, but dude is in for a massive, massive year. And not just saying that because he's on the show. Like, go watch his tape. Toss rewatched it and was like, yo, you got to watch the tape. I watched the tape. And I'm like, yo, Nick, guess what? You got to watch the tape. Nick watched the tape. He's like, yo. So without giving too much away in that series of yo's I just gave you guys, this really is a great one. Isaiah is the man. So we hope you enjoy. Without further ado, the Charity Stripe presents Isaiah Roby. And this is Isaiah Roby, guys, joining us today. Isaiah, second round pick. You come in. Do your thing. You had a great season last year. You know, you're going to get some serious minutes on a team with a lot of potential, a lot of good young guys, but you're a young guy too, yet you've been there for a while. And just kind of how the NBA works. What are you feeling going into this year as far as what your role is going to be for personal, as well as kind of being there for those younger guys coming into Oklahoma City?
Yeah, it's a quick change for me. Like last year, having a guy like Al Horford around, who was, you know, for the bigs, like he was our veteran guy. Like he kind of just had, obviously, multi-time all-star, seen a lot, played in the playoffs. So having him around was real big for us. And now this year, like, we have Derek Favors and Mike Muscala, but, you know, after that, I'm the next oldest forward we have. So, like, going from last year practically being my rookie season to now being one of those guys who's kind of looked at as a veteran on this team, you know, it's kind of it's a quick turnaround, but, you know, that's something that I'm looking forward to. You know, I've had a lot of good talks with our coaching staff. Obviously, we have a really young team. Like, I think we have, like, maybe 5-6 guys born after 2000 on our team. maybe even more.
That's crazy, dude. That is so nuts.
What's it like having guys, like, under the age of 21 on your team, right? Like,
it's just weird because, like, I have an 18-year-old brother. And I still think of him. No way, like, somebody my little brother's age is going to mess with me, you know, on a basketball court. But then, you know, we got a guy like Josh Giddey who's – I think he's born 2003. It's like just like my little brother, and it's like, yeah, he's, you know, 6th pick in the NBA draft. So, and it's kind of surreal, but you know, that's what the NBA is going towards, just young, getting younger and younger each year.
Have you gotten to play with him at all yet? I'm so curious about his game.
Yeah, we've got everybody's actually in Oklahoma City. I know like a lot of other teams, they're still like out of town and you know, working out and doing their own thing, but we have everybody back right now. So, we've all been playing pickup. I like his game. He's tall. Like he's legit 6'8" guard. Really good vision. And I mean, I think especially at 18 years old, like you got to remind yourself that, like, obviously going number 6 in the draft, like you expect a lot out of him. And I think that he's gonna do really good this year. But I mean, he's 18 years old. Like he's got a lot of room to grow.
Yeah, I mean, you could kind of speak to that. You went from averaging 8 points per game as a sophomore in college to averaging 8 points per game in the NBA.
Like, right.
What was the turning point in between your sophomore and junior year where things, I guess, clicked for you and you're like, I can be an NBA player, and then you kind of catapulted, because it's been stacked against you from the jump, dude. Like you came out of Chicago. Were you 8th Mr. Illinois basketball?
I couldn't tell you. I know I didn't win it. I know that.
Yeah. Hey, look, another chip on the shoulder. I'm sure you could attest, dude. Illinois basketball is probably the best.
It's tough. When I was in high school, like Jabari Parker was dominated. He won four straight NBA champion or NBA four state four straight state championships. And then when he left, you know, then Jahlil Okafor was there, Jalen Brunson was there, Cliff Alexander was there. So, you know, Illinois basketball is really, really tough. And you know, my I played for a smaller school. You know, my school had about 800 kids in it, 700 kids. So we weren't the biggest school in Illinois, but, you know, like you said, like we were ranked in the state. I was going for Mr. Basketball. We ended up my senior year, we lost to the same team three times. And this is the only games we ever lost that my senior year. But like you said, like I always had that chip on my shoulder coming from a small town, going to a school like Nebraska, where, you know, not many guys go to the league from there. Like that was never my goal, really. My goal going to Nebraska was to do something that never been done in Nebraska, which is to win an NCAA tournament game. But the only Big Ten, only Power Five school to never win a NCAA tournament game, which, you know, I didn't accomplish that, honestly. I think we got snubbed my sophomore year. We should have made a tournament.
Yeah, it stunk. I remember that.
It's tough. I mean, we played really well that year. I think we won. We were fourth in the Big Ten, which usually the Big Ten sends at least 5, 6, 7 teams. Right. And fourth in the Big Ten, didn't make the tournament. We won like 23 games. We were like 22-10, 22-11. Ended up not making the tournament. But like you said, like that was the year that I really kind of understood, like, okay, like I'm doing the things that NBA guys are doing. Like I actually had one of my teammates, Anton Gill, who was five out of high school, went to Louisville, had some injury trouble, ended up coming to Nebraska. And he was the first guy who was like, you know, you can make the league. Like you're doing things that league guys do. Like you play the power forward or the five man, and you're pushing a fast break, and you know, you're Eurostep dunking in transition. Like that's NBA stuff. Mm-hmm. And but he was the first guy who really like said that to me, and like had that belief in me. And then after that, you know, it just trickled down for like my coaching staff. They were always pushing me like, this is your year. This is your year to go. Like, you know, you got to turn it up. Like the potential, we see the potential, but it's time to, you know, fulfill that potential. So that's kind of just been what I've been trying to do ever since then.
Yeah. And you had a Hoiberg at the end, right?
So I never really had Hoiberg. He got hired the year I left.
Got it.
So, but it was kind of cool because the coach that I came in with, Coach Miles, he got fired that year, that summer. I put my name in the draft and they hired Hoiberg. And then Hoiberg was around like immediately. He was in the gym, like he was working me out, getting me ready for draft.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I imagine that's really valuable since he had just come back from the NBA, you know, being with the Bulls. That must have been really helpful for you.
Yeah, it was. It was really helpful because, like, for one, he kind of gave me like an idea of what draft workouts would be. And then, like, for my first, like, maybe I'd end up doing like 17 NBA workouts. Maybe from like my first six or so, he was calling. He would call the team right after I got done. Like, hey, how do you do? What's he look like? What do you guys think of him? And after a while, he started. I think he got the like. He just knew like I wasn't coming back. Like I think he got like the same advice that I was, or the same like feedback I was getting was, you know, he's doing really well. He's showing us what he can do. And so I think after a while, he kind of turned his focus towards recruiting other guys. But you know, he was a really good tool for me in the little bit of time that we spent together. And you know, even now, like he's still the coach there, and we text every now and then. So
really? I think that's awesome.
Yeah, he seemed like a good.
Yeah, I think I went back and just checked out the highlights, you know, the college highlights. Had to look them over, and I think you were ready too. I honestly, like, what some of the stuff that you can do, like, is really, really special. And I think like a lot of people slept on that. And I'm sure that's something that you feel like being drafted. What was it, 45th pick, right? Is that right? And obviously, I'm a little bitter about it because I'm a Mavs fan, so. I know things, you know, you started there. What has the conversation been like with different organizations that you've been in touch with? And obviously you're here with the Thunders now, about health and your body and like taking care of yourself. And then two-part question after that, I'd love for you to get into like the one thing that you're adding this year that you're really focused on, to kind of grow your game forward.
Sure. So to your first question, this is the first offseason I've had with no injury since being in the league. You know, I came in my rookie season. I played my whole last year, my junior year at Nebraska, and my whole rookie season in the NBA with plantar fasciitis, which, I mean, it's brutal. It's a brutal injury.
You had it your whole junior year?
Yeah, I had it. I had it going into the summer of my junior season, played the entire year with it, was able to get drafted with it. And then went to Dallas, played about, they kind of like sat me. I was playing mostly in the G League, and they were like, you know, you'll play 15 minutes. If it hurts, we'll sit you down for a week. So I kind of doing that the whole year, which was tough on not only my body, because my foot was still hurting, but but also on my mental. Cause like, yeah. you know, no matter how I play, I'm only going to get 15 minutes and I know I'm not playing up to my potential because I only have one good leg. Like, so that was big. Like, and, but also at the same time, I knew like I was able to get drafted with one good foot. Like, I know when I get two good feet, like I'm gonna be ready to go. So when I got traded to Oklahoma City, they actually, and the pandemic actually helped me out a lot. Like the timing of the pandemic was kind of really good for me because it allowed me to, they shut me down for the season. Obviously the bubble started back up later in the year, but when the pandemic hit and the season got canceled, they let me get surgery. I was able to go get surgery, rehab, come back strong. And, you know, I had the time to recover my body. So, that's why last year, I think that was a big reason for me taking a big jump and being able to play the amount of minutes I did. And then this off season, you know, I've just been even just more kind of like just learning about my body, learning how to take care of my body. Like, I got to talk to a lot of veteran guys who been in the league a long time. Chris Paul was there with Oklahoma City when I got my surgery, and we had to talk about, like, you know, he had the same type of injury early on in his career and he didn't get surgery. And he said, like, he's still dealing with that sometimes. Like, you know, he's got to be extra mindful about, okay, I got to stretch after practice. I got to warm up properly before the games, before practice, whatever. So he kind of gave me, you know, he's like, take care of that thing. Like, don't rush it. You know, this, your body is, you know, once your body's gone, that's, you're no longer be in the NBA. So, being able to hear stuff like that has just made me like kind of like a freak about taking care of my body and, you know, researching things and what can I do to make sure my, you know, whatever, my calves are stressed enough to make sure that my feet aren't going to be hurting, you know, stuff like that. Just learning more stuff about that.
Yeah. Sure. Recovering from that injury is something that goes a long way for your confidence as well, right? Like, you're not going to be second guessing yourself when you're playing out there, thinking about, you know, re-injuring yourself. So it's good, you know, that you're fully healthy this offseason. And to go to your point with Chris Paul, I mean, it's a guy who's dealt with injuries his entire career. And so it's good to have a veteran kind of give you that advice and pass it along to you to take care of your body.
No doubt. I mean, those guys, it's honestly like having played one full season in the NBA, like it's super impressive how those guys are. They're like, you know, 35, 36,
oh, yeah.
Still at the highest level. It's really impressive. Like, and then even for like guys who do like the, I forget what it's called, like the Ironman, I think the guys who play all 82 games, that's, you know, that's a huge feat.
Yeah. Yeah. Used to be Wes Matthews' nickname, but then he got hurt a couple of times. no, but I think especially for a guy like you and like what your skill set is, right? Like you're such a just awesome athlete, especially in comparison to some of the other bigs in the NBA, where if you catch the ball in the three pointer, I mean, it's one of your favorite moves. You hit him with that quick jab and you're buying for an easy dunk. So that's, you know, you got to be able to have that explosiveness and really be at 100% health to be able to do that kind of stuff. So I can imagine that that's something that the training staff are always talking to you about.
Yeah. Cause I mean, like you said, like I'm not a traditional five man. Like, you know, I'm 6'8", 6'9", 230, you know, so, you know, that's my advantage on guys is, you know, I can push the ball in transition. I can take them off the dribble. You know, if we're playing, you know, Utah and, you know, they got Rudy Gobert who sits in the paint, just guards the entire paint by himself. When he's guarding me, he has to come out a little bit. And, you know, so that kind of throws a wrench in typical game plans for other teams.
Yeah.
And a little bit more freely. Like, we have five guys on the perimeter who can all pass, dribble, shoot. So that's kind of what our team is kind of built on right now.
Have you apologized to Robin Lopez yet for just absolutely embarrassing him last year?
God, that was awesome.
I think we lost that game, honestly. So he can't get an apology from me. You know, that's a battle between me and him, I guess. But I mean, at the end of the day, they won that game. So, same thing with Vucevic. That was kind of like my first highlight I had where I had Vucevic. He had like 20 something on me. I had 19 or 20 on him. And I had a highlight on him, and he was, you know, he kind of gave me some crap for it after the game. He was like, "You don't got to do that to an old guy like that." But you know, I had a few good highlights last year. Felt good.
Yeah, I mean, quick question about a guy like Gobert, because he's been brought up a couple times, like on our show. What is it like, kind of like just from like, you know, coming down the court perspective, seeing him in that paint? I'm always so curious about it because we get the, like, you know, in the stands, even in like on TV, we get the side view. So it doesn't look as big, but I'd imagine he's so wide and he covers so much range that maybe you could speak to, like, as a big, how really good defensively he is.
Yeah, there's a few guys like him. And obviously, he's the best at what he does, but it's almost like a, like, you think you have more space than you actually do because, yeah, he's that big of a person. And, like, he's in the paint and he's taking up a lot of space. But even when you go to take a layup, like, you don't realize how long his arms are until he's blocked your shot. Like, he can really guard the entire paint by himself. Like him, Clint Capella, guys who – and Gobert is taller than Capella, but Capella does – his arms, they might be longer than Gobert's. Like, it's just some things you know, you can't really practice for we have like our coaches have like they're like things you can hold to like block shots. Like it extends your wingspan like a couple feet to like block shots when we do like layup drills or something like that. And like it's still not as long as Rudy Gobert's wingspan. So it's like, you know, go to the game. You gotta just be aware. You gotta use different angles. Like you can't just go straight through them. You gotta go over them, around them. And, you know, that's just something that comes with more experience.
Yeah. I mean, those trainers are what, like 5'10", 5'11", kinesiologist from Northwestern who's like reached with the block. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about with the blockers that'll go to like, what, 6'9", that we see in karate class. Yeah. You're like, all right, boom, bam, like on the opposite hand with it.
Or like they hit you with the pad when you're going up for the layup. But it's like, imagine DeJuan Blair just bumping you with his hip. You know, like it's a little different. It's just a little different.
Yeah, we're getting some great throwback names in this podcast, by the way. I heard a Cliff Alexander out of Isaiah though. That was earlier.
Yeah. Cliff Alexander, he was he was a beast. Like I saw him break a backboard.
I know.
And I was like, this dude's 3 years older than me. He's breaking backboards. Like, nah, he was a freak. I'm not sure. I haven't seen him play. I know he's playing in the G League a couple years ago.
I think he got bad advice.
Oh, did he?
I don't know. It just seems like I'll kind of pose it to you because it seems like you had good advice. Like your coaching staff, like kind of made sure you were ready to go to the league. He was top recruit and he just like wasn't ready to go to the league. I don't know if self does a good job of getting guy or putting guys in a position, you know, it's always team first, which I get, look, you're trying to win a championship and it's Kansas. Like you're always going to be contending. Even guys like Embiid and Wiggins, who we've seen live, when we were at Texas, we saw them live. They weren't even close to what, you know, they do now in the pros where they could kind of be a bit more individual. It was so team centric. Right. They were both playing together. Right. I don't know if Cliff had that opportunity to kind of showcase himself individually, you know?
Right. Yeah. And his style of game was like, he was just like, he was a grown man playing against high school kids in high school. So it's like, you know, like I don't know how much bigger he got when he got to Kansas or whatnot, but he was already, you know, a grown man. But I think that sometimes hurts you. Like I know that hurt me. Like growing up where I was from, in my high school conference, we had one other guy who was 6'8", 6'9". And other than that, it was just all a bunch of 6'4" guys that were guarding me. So like for me, like I get to the rim anytime I wanted. And then you go to college and it's not the case anymore. You gotta actually have something to your game. Yeah. So like with Cliff Alexander, somebody like Cliff Alexander, or, you know, a lot of, there's more guys, like not just to call him out, but guys were just like, they're so dominant at a young age. I feel like it limits the skill you have to have to get stops and whatnot.
I mean, you always hear about those guys that have like late growth spurts, right? Like was Anthony Davis one of them, right? Like
AD, dude, he was like he was like 5'4". The next thing you know, he's 7'7". Like it's the dude like shot up through the roof like a cartoon.
Right. And that's why he's got the skill set he does, because like he was playing point guard. That's kind of like I was playing when I was in fifth grade, I played on the eighth grade B team in my town. And I was the shortest guy out there. So they had me playing point guard. And so like that's where I feel like that's where I have some, you know, I can push the ball in transition. I can play make for guys. But now it's just about, for me, I think this year is about being more efficient and taking care of the ball more, knowing, you know, now that I have a year under my belt, like just being more composed and just not being more consistent.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. I mean, it's more important to be good at basketball before you're being good at being big kind of thing.
Right. There's always going to be.
Yeah.
there's going to be somebody bigger than you eventually. Like, you're going to find somebody who's Rudy Gobert or, you know, or Boban Marjanovic. Like, there's going to be somebody bigger than you.
Yeah, that guy's just almost too big to be for me and him to be considered the same species of like.
But Boban, like, he's got that little like 14-foot hook. Like, he's so he's high percentage within 15 feet. It's not just that he's that tall.
Yeah, no, Boban is good. He's good. He's unstoppable. Like, if he gets in the paint, it's over with. Like, what are you gonna do? Like, he's like, it's funny because when I was with Dallas, like, he can't play that much. I think just because like they try to limit the miles on his body just because he's so big.
Right.
Like, all right, we're down eight. Let's put Boban in. Let him get six straight points, six straight rebounds, and then, you know, he'll sit back down. Like, it's, but I mean, he's one of those guys who's like, he's just massive. Like, I remember we played the Mavericks last year, and we had a guy who's on the Mavericks now, Moses Brown, and him and Boban in the paint, it's like there's no room for anybody else to get a rebound. It was either going to be Moses is going to get the rebound or Boban's going to get the rebound.
He's huge. He's another guy that's just like massive.
Yeah, he's like 7'1", right?
He's 7'1", 7'2".
Some way too tall.
Yeah. Whose game did you model yours after, and did it change as you, you know, because some guys kind of lock in on one guy. I know as you get older, you're watching so much film that it kind of, you know, you just kind of get different things from different guys. What was kind of your trajectory in that sense?
To be honest, I didn't really grow up watching guys too closely. Like, in like a sense of like, I'm going to copy their game. Like, more for me, it was more like, I like to hear guys' mindsets and like what drives them. So like a big guy for me was Dame Lillard. I remember I don't know if you guys ever watched it. He had like a series when he got drafted. It was called License to Lillard, I think it was called. And it kind of just detailed his draft process and, you know, waking up at 6 a.m. to go work out and running the hills, running on the beach, stuff like that. And that was more stuff I would look into. Like, I wouldn't really watch guys film and be like, oh, I'm going to go practice, you know, Jamal Crawford, the double behind the back. Like, I'm not going to practice that stuff. But like, I love just watching basketball and watching guys get after it. I'll probably say like the guy I watched the most probably is LeBron, you know, like kind of like a playmaking forward. That's what I played in high school. Like, in high school, I played point guard and center at the same time. Like, kind of like I do now, honestly. Like a point center for our team, and like so those are the guys I like to watch, I guess. But I never really had like one guy I really locked in on.
You mentioned mental health a couple times. You know, was that something you're always subconsciously into? It's such a big topic now in sports. Like, you know, astronomically has grown. Like, yeah, it was never talked about. Or guys that I just watched the Malice in the Palace doc on Netflix. Have you seen it yet?
Yeah, I just watched it like maybe 2 weeks ago.
How epic was that?
It was cool. Yeah, really good.
It was great. I mean, and then Meta World Artest, we'll go with Meta World Peace. I think it is like, I think he's combined the names now.
Yeah.
But a guy like that back then, he's a problem. He's an issue. We can't have him on the team. He's a liability, rather than focusing on, okay, what's going on here? How can we help him? Type deal.
Right.
Like, even Jermaine O'Neal is like, we knew he was getting, you know, help, but we didn't even ask or go to that extent of what. So right. How important has that been for you, the mental health side of things, especially with this day and age?
Yeah, it's been huge. Like, that's like a really big part of it now. Like, and I think it's a good thing because growing up, like even myself, you see sports from the outside. Like, before social media, you didn't really know like what guys do. Like, you didn't know, you know, a guy like LeBron, he also plays video games in his spare time. Like, he's not always at the gym. Like, he's not waking up. I remember stories of like, somebody like Kobe, they say like Kobe used to wake up 4 a.m., work out, go to sleep, work out, like that type of thing. So like, and not everybody's wired like that. Like, if Kobe was wired like that, you know, that's why he was as great as he is. But at the end of the day, some people got to take care of their mental health. So if it's okay to, you know, to watch movies at night and not watch a film for hours, stuff like that. And I kind of learned that my rookie season. Like, I remember during training camp, I was doing two-a-days by myself. Like, I would go in at nighttime and work out. And one night I was in there late and one of the trainers walked in and he was like, you got to stop doing this. Like, this is a long season. Like, we know you want to be great. We know you have that work ethic, but like,
you're gonna
run yourself into the ground. Like, you can't do this. Like, you can't sustain this for an entire season. And he was right. But I mean, just things like that, like being able to, to kind of tap, like unplug from basketball. Like at this point, it is a job, and obviously it's something that we all love to do. Like it's something that we grew up doing. It's a game. But at the same time, like it is your work. So you got to find ways to unplug. Even last year, like obviously we didn't have the best season as far as wins and losses. And like, there'd be times where we go on a losing streak and I wouldn't sleep. Like I wouldn't be able to sleep that well because like, I'm thinking like, okay, I could have did this. I could have did that. I missed this shot because I was leaning to the left. And so I'd be up at night all night, just thinking about that. And somebody like Al Horford, George Hill, these guys have been through it. And they're like, you know, you're gonna play a lot of games in this league. You gotta be able to let that go. You gotta be able to just look at it objectively and move on to the next thing, or else, you know, it's not gonna be good for you.
Yeah. What are some of those things that you do to unwind and just chill? Like what do you like to do?
For me, you know, I love playing video games. You know, I'm really good at FIFA. FIFA's my game. Like nobody, like everybody on our team has tried to challenge me. And it's like I might have lost like 3 games out of like 50. Like it's
really,
yeah, I'm real good at FIFA.
Who's your team?
Whoever.
Wow. Doesn't even matter.
FIFA player.
I don't even matter. Like I just randomly pick a team. But yeah, I'm pretty nice at FIFA. And then Call of Duty here and there, Madden, 2K, not so much. I feel like I play basketball all day. Like I don't really want to go home and play basketball.
Yeah.
Yeah, unless it's time to, like, you know, you have like that one of those rough days, like, all right, I'm gonna turn my guy up to 99 and just dominate on whoever the hell we just play. And the Call of Duty thing is, it was always tough for me to get into because you really have to be good.
Yeah.
Fifi could kind of get away with dicking around a little bit. Like, all right, like if I get knocked 5-0 to Isaiah, like whatever, we can like, you know, I'm not like totally
Call of Duty, like, Call of Duty would like bring something out of you didn't know was inside you. Like it'll make you really.
Like, you watch these guys stream and they're like, Nick, do you play Call of Duty?
I played a lot of Call of Duty in high school and a little bit in college. And then I've just like lost touch with it. And like, I could easily say now that I would get my ass whooped if I went to Warzone right now. Like I'm so far behind. Those guys are so good.
Yeah, no, it's ridiculous. Like people like, yeah, no, I honestly, I stopped playing Warzone because it's like one of those things, like even like with Fortnite, I played Fortnite a lot in college. That was really big. And I took like a month off, came back, and everybody can do just different stuff. Like it's gaming is real now. Like I got a 10-year-old brother who could even like he could do more than me on video games now.
Oh yeah, the young kid will wax.
Yeah, no, for real. But I mean, okay. So aside from video games, I like to get outside. Try to get outside however I can. You know, especially with COVID, like last year it was tough to get outside and like couldn't go to your favorite restaurant. You couldn't go to the movies. Those are all things I love. I love going to the movies. So like last year I was doing a lot of trying to get outside fishing. I have two dogs. So go outside, walk my dogs around the lake, something like that. Just try to do things that, you know, to where you can just unplug, like not getting on social media. That stuff's not always good for you. You need to break from all that.
Bro. Yes. Yeah. I mean, what kind of dogs you got? You got two?
Yeah. I just got another puppy. Me and my, I have a bull terrier. And a French bulldog.
Oh, nice. French bulldog's cute as hell. I don't know the bull terrier as well.
It's the target dog.
Okay.
Pico from Friday.
Yeah, that one's mad cute.
Big football head. Like, face is super long.
Good on you, man. That's like we had two dogs for 2 weeks in college. They were puppies. It was like, I learned very quickly that if I had a kid on the fly, I'd be scared. Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough. It's like having a little kid, but like you can put him in a cage. You can't do that.
When you're a professional athlete during the season and you're on the road, who takes care of the dogs?
So my girlfriend, I live with my girlfriend. She helps me out. But yeah, if I didn't have a girlfriend, I probably wouldn't have got dogs. Like I know some guys in college, like you said, who had dogs and like, it's tough. Like you need somebody to help you. So, and even she's got her own schedule. So like sometimes we'll have to put them in we have a family here that helps take care of them when we're on the road. But yeah, definitely it's tough to do it on your own, especially when they're like puppies.
Yeah.
They're cute. So did you get them during COVID?
No. Well, the first one I got in college, actually, I got my sophomore year. That's when I got the bull terrier. And then I got the French bulldog maybe like 3 months ago, a puppy. Gotcha.
Yeah. It's so interesting. I feel like a lot of people got dogs during COVID and like, now that things are slowly opening up, I know like there's another spike with the Delta and stuff like that, but that I'm hearing a lot of stories about COVID dogs, like not doing well with other dogs because they haven't been able to like socialize and interact. And they just become really like codependent with the owner, which is kind of wild.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It, like, that's what I'm glad. Like, I'm kind of glad, like my dog, she gets to go to like I said, like to that family's house. So they have dogs in and out. And they, she gets people. So like, you gotta, if you don't socialize your dog, it's not going to be good for like the day when the day comes, you have to like go leave them at somebody's house or whatever. Like, it's going to be bad for you. So
it's still an animal, you know, like we talk about mental health of people. I think we're starting to realize, like, you know what? We're not the only kind of species on this planet. There's other kind of animals and they're probably not that far off from us. but that's good on you for the dog. Hey, sometimes the dogs help get the girlfriends. Good for you for having, but all three in the same, I guess two dogs, all three at the same time. I'm like, shit, man, maybe I should go get a dog, you know? I'm stuck with these two.
No, it'll help for sure. And it's good, like, you come home from a long road trip, you come home and your dog's like, no matter how you played, like, no matter what, your dog's always gonna be happy to see you.
You get a double double or a 0-0 or put up a Tony Snell game, that dog is gonna love you no matter what. Yeah. That's the we have a couple quick hitters we'll get to you, Isaiah, but we always ask all our guests the same question. It could be from you playing, anything, watching, doesn't matter. What is your favorite sports memory ever?
Favorite sports memory? I'll probably say the night I got drafted. Does that count?
That's dude, yeah.
Okay.
We have people talking about Little League all the time, dude. Whatever. It's as long as it has to do with someone. Yeah,
the crazy part is like most of my best memories are probably from like AAU or high school, honestly, because that's the time when you're playing and like everybody's there for the same reason. Like, we're all here to like to win this weekend tournament, or we're here to win a conference high school championship, something like that. So like, that's probably like the most fun time I would have had playing sports. And like, those, like all the guys I grew up playing with, like those are probably like still, like I talked to most of them at least, you know, weekly, but definitely some even daily still to this day. But like, getting drafted was special because like, I had my family there. Everybody that was really like crucial to me getting to that point to getting drafted was there. Mm-hmm. And it was awesome. Like, it was just a good night. It was kind of scary though, because like I was told that I was going to get drafted somewhere in the 30s, and that pick ended up getting traded. So I was kind of scared. Like, the night got kind of scary, but it all worked out good. And, you know, it was a great night, and it was just a fun time to be able to spend with, you know, guys I grew up playing basketball with, football with, and then my high school football or high school basketball coach was there also. And so it was just a great time.
Getting promised you picked in the 30s, and then we get to like, uh-oh, that pick's gone. I can imagine that being pretty nerve-wracking. There's some kind of pressure with people around you. Like, you know, they're there to celebrate you, but you want to like get it over with so the celebration can start.
Right.
Exactly. But anyway, like I said, like, even going to Nebraska, like, it was never part of my plan to go to the NBA. Like, my plan was truly just to go there and just help win games, help win, you know, just make history there. Yeah. And, you know, just end up working out just more than I could even imagine.
Nice. All right, we got some quick hitters for you. Toss, you want to throw them at him?
Yeah, give me 1 second.
Oh yeah, we got a list, bro. We got a game.
Just a couple. It's just a couple.
We just got 35 for you. So if you have a seatbelt, we recommend you putting it on.
All right, first one. How good can SGA become? How good is he? This is not a quick hitter, I guess, really. But is he one of those guys that medium hitter? That's one of the most underrated players in the league?
For sure. I mean, I think if you watch the games that he was playing versus the games he wasn't playing, you could see his impact on the team. I think the sky's the limit for him. You know, playing with him in pickup now, like he's stronger than he was last year. He's making tough shots. Like, he's doing what he does, and he makes it look so easy. He's one of those guys that you watch and it's like, I can go out there and just take a 30-foot side step back over a defender. Like, he makes it look so easy. So I can do that too. but it's not easy. Like he works on that and you know, he's a killer. So I think the sky's the limit for him.
Yeah, we agree. We're big SGA fans.
We've always been, and he just came out and he's like, I'm the black Steve Nash. I'm like, hell yeah. I'm super.
He actually say that though, because I said that to him in practice. He's like, I didn't say that.
He didn't say that. I just fuck Instagram, dude. I hate this shit. I'm so done with Instagram. If he didn't say that, I'm deleting this app. It's over.
He might have actually said it. I don't know, but I said it to him. And he was like, nah. He's like, nah, that's not me. Like, I didn't say that.
Yeah.
That's funny. All right. What's a play mid game that fires you up more than anything? Is it the big block, catching the lob? Dunking over a guy. What is it for you?
Yeah, definitely dunking on somebody. That's like the highest adrenaline you can get, I feel like. Getting a big block is cool, but then you still got to go down and score now. Like, but when you dunk on somebody, usually the ball bounces around a little bit. You get a little time to flex or something. Like, so it's a little bit more, you know.
It goes wild.
And you get 2 points on the board. It's always good.
What do you think you guys play the Suns this year? Is Jalen Smith going to be coming after you? You put one down on him in college that was –
oh,
big time.
I did. No, he, I mean, shoot, he was, I think that was his freshman year. And like, he was a big part of our scouting report that day. So like, you know, I think he's been really good. He's athletic. We kind of have the same, like similar games. You know, he can do a lot. He could shoot, dribble, get to the rim, but, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting some more battles against him. It was fun playing against those Maryland teams.
Yeah, it's like one of those guys, like he's a 10th pick and he didn't like contribute like right away. And by the way, a team that went to the championship. So like he's a rookie, like everyone's ready to like throw him to the fire. It's like, hold on, let's let these guys mature a little bit for 5 seconds.
Right. And that's the world we live in today. Like if he's a top 10 pick and he don't average 15, he's a bust. And it's like, bro, like, he's a solid player. He's a really solid player. Even as a rookie, he was solid. And I think just especially being a part of that team, like it's going to be hard to find minutes on a team like that. Like he's playing behind Torrey Craig. He's playing behind Jay Crowder. Like these guys who have been in the league for a long time and that winning teams want. So like I think people are going to probably be surprised when he comes out and he has a good year. And they're like, oh, he could have done this his rookie year. Well, maybe, no, he probably couldn't though because he had to learn that from those guys and he had to, you know, gain experience. So he's going to be good.
He could have been amazing his rookie year, and you're not playing him over Jay Crowder in the playoffs.
Right.
The guy's a winner.
Yeah.
Are you guys big
Jalen Smith fans? Well, that was kind of a random name to pull up.
No, I mean, you just posterized him, so I thought I'd pull it out.
Oh. but yes, to answer your question, we are nerds. We're basketball nerds, bro. We have
one buddy who's the big Maryland guy, and every year he's like, they're going to be the best team in college basketball. So
it's like the Maryland.
They always, they always have great players though. That's for sure.
They have a lot of NBA guys.
Yeah. All right. Who's the best in the world right now?
Right now. Giannis. What he was doing in the finals and even what he did to get them out of that, you know, the Brooklyn series, the Atlanta series, like, yeah, Giannis for sure. Like he looked unstoppable, and on both sides of the floor, he was making plays. Like he's a guy who, like, there's a lot of guys in the NBA you have to like fully game plan for. And he's one of them. Like you got a fully game plan for him to stop him. You got a fully game plan for Steph to try to contain him. Jokic, obviously, Embiid. But yeah, no, Giannis, when he has it like that, like how he had it in the finals, it's going to be hard to beat them.
Yeah. And when the game plan is foul him
and he
goes and hits every single free throw, except one, he had 17 free throws. You're really in trouble. So
yeah, you're in trouble.
Shaq, what's your favorite? Yeah. With the free throws. What's your favorite sports movie?
Favorite sports movie.
Or your favorite movie.
Either one. Glory Road. Mm.
Good one. Glory Road's great.
Glory Road's a really underrated movie.
It is, for sure.
Gets slept on all the time because of Hoosiers. Like everyone goes to Hoosiers or Coach Carter for the basketball movie.
Never seen Hoosiers.
Really?
I've never seen Hoosiers, I promise you.
Bro, like if you're going to get anything from this friendship right now that we've just started watch Hoosiers. I promise you. It's a good movie.
Hey, Isaiah, I'm with you. I've never seen it either.
You never seen it? Yeah, like it's probably a great movie, but like I haven't seen Hoosiers. There's some other great movies, like great sports movies that people say like, oh yeah, it's the best movie. I've never seen them. Like I'm not really like a big movie guy in that sense. Like, right. What's the White Sox game out in the cornfield?
Field of Dreams.
Like, even how I'm describing it, you can tell.
That one's good. It's overrated. Like, but if you play basketball, like, you'll dig. Hoosiers is like a cool story. I mean, Glory Road's great.
Yeah, rebound with Martin Lawrence. Got to check that one out too.
Jack.
Yeah.
What about just like regular movies? You said you like to go a lot.
Like my favorite movie of all time is probably Dark Knight. That's probably like that's like a, like not with that movie at all. I could watch that movie all day. I'm trying to think. I love going to the movie. I love scary movies. Like scary movies are probably like my favorite movies to go watch in the theater. Like I went and watched Candyman last week. That was great.
Yeah, I just saw that. You liked it? I thought it was great.
I'm not gonna say it's great. I lied. It's not great, but like, I just love being in the movies. Like, no matter how the movie was, I was gonna have a good time. But after seeing the original, like being from Illinois, like,
oh yeah,
like we know Candyman. Like Candyman's big, and like that's what like I grew up. So, like we never said, it's Bloody Mary. We said Candyman. Like that's how we always knew it.
Oh,
so like it was all right. I'm not gonna say it was the best movie, but it was all right.
So I didn't realize when I went and saw it too, and I didn't realize that it's like, it's a sequel basically. Like,
yeah,
but I hadn't seen the original. And so like, they're throwing all this stuff at me and I'm like, it's all new to me. Right. I was kind of confused until like read up on it afterwards, but yeah, he's great. That guy's awesome. That actor.
Squad Netflix party back the trio of movies. We'll do Hoosiers into the original Candyman into Dark Knight, which by the way, you say you could watch that all day. I think I've actually watched that movie back to back. Like just,
You probably learn something new every time. Like you just see something new and I think just like, especially like the whole thing with Heath Ledger and like, you know, obviously like the, all that surrounding the movie, like it was just like, I've always been interested by it. I don't know why, but
yeah. I have it on PSP and I used to take my PSP on airplanes when I would fly. And that was the only movie I had. So I watched that all the time.
That's tough. The PSP, they need to make a comeback. PSP.
Such a good system.
Ahead of its time. Of its time.
Watch my first porn on PSP.
Oh, baby, nice. Good for you for checking that thing out.
I didn't have the PSPs. I didn't know you could do that on there, but
hey. Yeah.
All right, last one. Starting five all time Chicago Hoopers.
Oh man, I don't know if I could do that. That's tough. Say D Rose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, man. That's tough. I don't know if I can do that one because there's too many. Like we have like, and I'm not even from Chicago for one. So I'm probably gonna miss somebody. Like there's probably somebody that's really cold that I don't even know about from like back in like the 80s, 90s.
For sure.
Yeah, I don't know. All I know is for sure D Rose has to be on there. That's all I can definitely say. Yeah, like he was like. I mean, when I was in middle school, D Rose was the guy, like everybody on my team had D Roses. Guys are wearing D Rose basketball shoes to school. Like he was the one, like he was a legend. And he's still a legend. Like, I think I played him in my first preseason game and like, it was just like, dang, like he was the first guy I played against. I was like, dang, like that's D Rose. Like he's a legend.
He's the most like, we do things on our Instagram where it's like interactive polls where you get like 1,000 plus votes, like hundreds of people kind of like always interacting with us via that way. And every time you put a D Rose poll up, it could be like literally against LeBron, like who's the best player, and he will like have, if not win, have like a fighter's chance more than he ever should, just because he's like the most likable player of all time, I think.
Yeah, like he's just a real dude. And like, that's facts. But the one I'm from like
Illinois.
Yeah, so like the closest guy to me would be Fred VanVleet. Like he grew up in Rockford, Illinois, which that's where my family's from. Mm-hmm. So like I knew about him early on, and he's a beast too. But I should have been able to talk to him after we beat them actually at home, and he was pissed. He didn't talk to me after the game, but
he looks like pound for pound like one of the toughest dudes out there.
Yeah, no, he is. I mean, for instance, like. I watched them play at State, and they were in the biggest class in Illinois, which is 4A, which is like where Jabari Parker and you know, all those guys are playing, like that Simeon. I don't know if you guys know Simeon.
That's of course.
Legendary. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the same class as his team was in. And I think they went to state with like their tallest guy being 6'3", 6'2", and like beating just like a bunch of guys, same mentality as Fred VanVleet. And he was their point guard and went to Wichita State and played really well. But yeah, he's kind of always had that underdog mentality about him too. I kind of like that part about him.
Yeah, he's great.
Awesome. Well,
now he's getting his shot. Yeah.
Yeah, he's getting his shot big time. Well, speaking of getting your shot, you're up, kid. Go dominate this year. Wishing you nothing but the best. Keep kicking ass. Have fun in OKC. I've actually been to that stadium. I watched the Horns lose on a buzzer beater, so my memory there wasn't like that special. But it's a great. Actually, I thought the stadium was awesome. It's a really cool place to play. Yeah. It's a good spot.
I haven't seen it with fans in it yet.
That's gonna be awesome, yeah. Dude. The fans are electric.
I've heard. Yeah, that's what everybody says. Like Oklahoma, it feels like I'm in college still. Like as far as like the support, like you know, you can go to New York or Chicago and. Or just like bigger cities and like you can go around and you won't see, you know, guys wearing Bulls gear all the time or something like that. But like here, it's like people have stickers on their car.
Oh my God.
Or like it's, you know, they really come out and support. So I'm looking forward to seeing the fans back out there and, you know, having that home court advantage that we missed last year.
Yeah. I mean, it's all they got. You're the only professional team out there besides the AAA Dodgers team. So, I mean, right. They really care about you guys. I love it.
Yeah. I'm excited.
Awesome. Well, Isaiah, thank you so much for joining us. We had a blast, man.
For sure. Thank you guys for having me.
Of course, brother.
Of course.
Great show. Great dude. Can't wait to run it back. We will run it back with him. Absolutely. Absolute homie. Our age. Cool dude from Illinois, Nebraska product. We have another Fred Hoiberg guy coming through. George Niang Monday. So NBA's back, baby. Get excited. We're brought to you by betonline.ag. Go to betonline.ag. Go bet on our boys to win the MVP. Screw it. Why not? They may have the odds. They may not. But most likely they do because it's betonline.ag and they have everything you'd ever want, including the online casino, which is taking my money. I don't even care because I love betonline.ag. So go there today. Bet money. Win big. Thank you to Isaiah Roby. Fans out there, drag both feet inbound, swinging a full count, rip that puck, hit that putt, hit your PKs because they free, and hit your free throws. Why, guys? Because they are free. We outcha. We love you.